Well, good evening, everyone. Sure is nice to see all of you. The choir did an excellent job on that particular number, I thought. That was very moving, very inspiring, and very well done. I really was excited when we found out that we were going to be coming to Kerrville for the feast. The last time I was here was in 1997. And we enjoyed it. I think we had been here a couple of times before that. We really enjoyed it. And to come back here and to see this part of the country again. We lived in San Antonio for 3 years back in the early 2000s and would come up in this area from time to time. But I've always loved this part of the country. And it was good to see some people that we haven't seen in a while last night or yesterday afternoon for services. And then walking in here tonight, seeing old friends and have met some new ones already. So we're really looking forward to getting to know all of you. And that's the one of the exciting things about the feast is being able to get to see old friends, meet new ones, fellowship. Just spend time with brethren of like mind for 8 days. Well, it just doesn't get any better than that, I don't think. Well, we are here to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I want to begin this evening by turning to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. I like to go through this chapter from time to time, and especially on the holy days. Here in this chapter, chapter 23, God gives us the instructions of these days. We know that each one of the festivals here, he goes through the weekly Sabbath, the Passover, and each one of the annual holy days. And we know that each one of them picture a step in God's plan of salvation. And God tells us to come before him, to have a holy convocation. And the Feast of Tabernacles is one of those events that we all look forward to. And I think when we read the instructions in the Bible and the scriptures that pertain to the Feast of Tabernacles, I think God wants it to be exciting for us. But let's begin in Leviticus chapter 23, and let's just read verses 1 and 2 to begin with. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord. A lot of people in our world today, when they, if you were to mention the Feast of Tabernacles or the Passover or the Days of Unleavened Bread, if they had ever heard of those days, would say, oh, well, those are those Jewish feasts. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, they are the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations or commanded assemblies. These are my feast. So right here in this one verse, verse 2, God lets us know that these are his feast, the feast of the Lord. And he says at the end of the verse, these are my feast. So this is God's feast of tabernacles. Let's go down to beginning in verse 33, and then we begin to read the instructions here about when to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 33, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. So the 15th day of the 7th month, according to God's calendar, which is the Hebrew calendar, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. And on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. So tomorrow, or beginning this evening at sunset, what we are observing here now is a holy day to God. The first day, God's days begin at sunset, and they go to sunset. So it is a holy day, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. The eighth day, of course, we refer to it as the last great day. It is a separate feast and one that is very inspiring and encouraging. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work on it. We don't offer offerings by fire anymore. Verse 37, these are the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything on its day. And besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all of your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. And verse 39, and also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day there shall be a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So he wants us to rejoice. I'm sure we'll hear more about that as we go through the feast. And you shall keep it, verse 41, as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations, and you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. So they were to have temporary dwellings, just like we do today. For 7 days, and all who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. And so Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Once again, we see that phrase, the feast of the Lord. I want to, tonight as we begin the Feast of Tabernacles, I want us to focus on a phrase that we see in verses 34 and 41. Verse 34 again, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And this is what I want to focus on tonight. It says, to the Lord. To keep the Feast of Tabernacles to the Lord. He is to be our focus. It is to honor Him. The Moffat translation in verse 34 says, to keep the feast in honor of the Eternal. The NIV translates it, to celebrate this as a festival to the Lord. It is to be kept to the Lord. I believe the King James Version says, unto the Lord. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight, keeping the feast to the Lord. How can we keep this Feast of Tabernacles to the Lord? How can we do that? I want to look this evening at five things that we need to focus on to do this, to keep it to the Lord, five things that we can focus on. Number one is to focus on what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. Why does God have us to come to the Feast of Tabernacles, to keep these 7 days? What does He want us to focus on? What will we be hearing about in the messages that we'll be hearing at this Feast of Tabernacles? Let's go back to the end of the New Testament, to the book of Revelation, and let's look at chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, a chapter that I know we're all familiar with. It's an exciting chapter to read, to go through. I know I never tire of reading it and hearing verses quoted from this chapter as it talks about future events. We have already earlier, before coming to the feast, we kept the Feast of Trumpets, which pictured the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And then on Wednesday of last week, we kept the Day of Atonement, which pictured the binding of Satan. Satan being put away for 1,000 years. And it's interesting, as you go through this chapter, the phrase 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times in this chapter. 6 times. But I want to read verses 4 through 6 of Revelation 20. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And there's so many prophecies in the Bible that talk about this period of time and the changes that are going to take place. And that's what we are here to focus on and to picture during the feast. It's that 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And certainly, as it says here, the saints, we are going to have an opportunity to serve with Jesus Christ. We're going to have a part in this. They lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then verse 5, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. And that's the resurrection that we all want to be a part of. The better resurrection, a resurrection to eternal life, which we are preparing now to be those kings and priests in God's coming kingdom. But verse 5, and we'll hear more about this on the last great day, is another step in God's plan of salvation, when all who have ever lived, who have never had an opportunity, will get a chance to know the truth. Their minds will be open. And verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him once again for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. We're going to have the opportunity to reign with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 14. And this particular chapter talks about preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles. God wants us to prepare for this. He tells us that we are to put aside a second tithe to save for the festivals. And a big part of that, of course, is for the Feast of Tabernacles, where we would be traveling and staying in temporary dwellings. And as you go through here, you see that what God is wanting is for us to have a foretaste of this time that we are here picturing. To have a foretaste of what's coming, that time when there will be peace and prosperity and abundance for all. I know I get excited when I read the prophecies that talk about agriculture and what it's going to be like, the bumper crops that will be grown and harvested during this period of time. When I think about all of the people in the world who don't have the things that we have, who live in poverty and barely have enough to eat. This time pictures when they're going to learn the truth, and there's going to be changes in the weather, and there's going to be plenty for them to eat. And God wants us to enjoy and have a foretaste of that time now. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and beginning in verse 22, Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22, says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year." And this is talking about a second tithe. Most of your commentaries, if you'll take a look at those, and scholars recognize that this is a separate tithe. It's a tithe that they call it a second tithe or a festival tithe. They do recognize that. And it was to be used for the festivals. "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. And Kerrville is one of the places, not the only place, but one of the places where God has chosen to make his name abide. He's opened this up for us, and he's blessed us to be able to come here to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. And take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. And of course, we recognize and realize that it would be something that would be, you know, rightly desire, something that would fit in with the Feast of Tabernacles and what it pictures. But to spend that money, we save the second tithe, and God tells us to go and to use that money to enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles, to rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for a nice steak, or some lamb. You know, we can go from hamburger to the T-bone here at the feast. For wine or similar drink, to have a nice bottle of wine, maybe a little more expensive bottle than we're used to. God wants us to enjoy that at the feast. For whatever your heart desires, and you shall eat there before the Lord, because it's his feast, before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. God wants us to enjoy the feast. He tells us to prepare for it. And then if we've diligently saved our second tithe, we come before him and he tells us to enjoy it, to have a foretaste of this time that we're here picturing. I want to go over to Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, and we see here one of the prophecies of what it's going to be like during this time. Zechariah chapter 8, and we see here beginning in verse 1, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1, "And again the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, and with great fervor I am zealous for her." We know Zion is talking about the place where, around Jerusalem, where the headquarters is going to be. Other scriptures point that out. "And thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And thus says the Lord," and then he describes what is going to take place. "Old men and women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age." They're not worrying about missiles coming over or any type of violence or terrorist attacks at that time. There's going to be peace, and they can do that. "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. And thus says the Lord of hosts." When I read this part here, it just shows God's excitement. He can't wait for this to take place. "And if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts?" God is looking forward to that time. Let's skip down to verse 20. "And thus says the Lord of hosts, and people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, and I myself will go also." People are going to want to learn. "And yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. They're not doing that now. But the time is coming, and we're here picturing it, when what we're reading here is going to come to pass. What a wonderful time we have to look forward to. So one of the ways we can keep the feast of the Lord is to focus, to really take some time to read some of these passages. And many of them will be gone through in the sermons and the sermonettes at the feast. But to meditate on them, to think about them, to talk about them while we're here at the feast. Very important. Something else we can do, the second thing I'd like for us to focus on, is to focus on learning. To focus on learning. We are here at the feast. We're going to have services every day, sermonettes, sermons. We'll have a Bible study Friday night. What an opportunity for us to come before God. This is a once a year time that we have, that God has commanded for us to come here. 8 days of messages. Will we take advantage of that? Will we focus our attention on what God has prepared for us? We read earlier in Deuteronomy 14:23 that we are to come to learn to fear the Lord. And we'll hear more about that as we go through the feast. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And we see something here in John chapter 21 that Jesus emphasized to his apostles before he ascended to heaven. And he, as you read through here, you see the emphasis that he put on this, on teaching his sheep, feeding his sheep. We're his sheep. We're his sheep. And he wants to feed us, but are we hungry for what he has for us? John chapter 21 and verse 15. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." A big responsibility, a big job I have for you is to feed my lambs. Of course, he's talking about spiritually here. And he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep. Take care of my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him once again, "Feed my sheep." He wanted his sheep, those that he would call out of this world, to be fed. And we're his sheep, and we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles to be fed. Let's look at one other scripture on this point, Hebrews chapter 5, the book of Hebrews chapter 5. We live in a society today where there are so many distractions. So many distractions. I think that's something that Satan really strives to do, is to distract God's people, to get our minds off of the things of God, to get our minds to thinking about other things. And we don't want that to happen at the feast. This opportunity that we have, this once a year opportunity that we've been given. Let's look here at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, breaking into a thought. He said, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." This audience that we believe Paul was the writer here, was writing to, Paul began to see that he couldn't really teach them the things that he wanted to, and go through things that he wanted to, because they had become dull of hearing. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food." They'd become dull of hearing. They were not taking in what was being taught, the things that Paul wanted to cover with them. Let's ask God at this feast to help us. You know, each day I think it would be good for each one of us to, in our prayers before we come to services, to ask God to help us to concentrate on what's being said, to really listen and to be able to focus on the messages. It's a big part of keeping the feast to the Lord, focusing on learning what He has prepared for us. Number three, in keeping this a feast to the Lord, is to focus on giving. We've all heard, remember what Mr. Herbert Armstrong used to say so many times, that there's two ways of life, the give way and the get way. Of course, God's way is the give way. One of the things that will keep a feast to the Lord is to give a good feast, to give, to practice giving. There's so many ways that we can do that. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, the book of Acts chapter 20. We know God is the great giver. We know that we can outgive God. Jesus Christ is a giver. He gave His life for all of mankind. And Jesus Christ taught this principle of giving. Acts 20 and verse 35 says, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said." So this is the words of Jesus Christ, the one who will be the king in the coming kingdom of God. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when we begin to practice that, it becomes real to us. We begin to experience that the greatest satisfaction comes from giving than receiving. The greatest satisfaction comes from giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, just a few pages back, Acts chapter 10. And verses 36 through 38. "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. And that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So this example that they remembered and that they were teaching about Jesus Christ was that He went about doing good. He went about giving, healing the sick, helping people. And that's the way of life that He wants us to be learning and to practice. And what a better, no better time than here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter gives us some things here to think about. We could think about these at the Feast of Tabernacles. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another." Love is outflowing. It's outflowing concern for others. "For love will cover a multitude of sins. And be hospitable to one another without grumbling." In other words, we come to the point where we love to be hospitable. Invite people over. Invite people to go out to eat with you. Maybe there's someone that you'll meet that was not able to have a lot of second tithe this year, and you've been really blessed. Invite them out to eat and treat them to a nice meal. go up to someone who is not able to walk around the audience and visit and sit down and talk to them. Give of your time. It'll make such a difference in their feast. They'll remember that. To give a good feast, to focus on giving. That's what our Father in heaven does. He gives to us daily blessings, protection, so many things that he gives us. And he wants us to be learning that way of life. And we're going to be teaching that way of life in the coming kingdom. So no better time to focus on giving than here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Number four, focus on being a light to the world. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Something else that God wants us to be focused on, to be a light to the world. When we leave Kerrville, we'll make an impact on this community and the other places around the world where they're having the feast. They will have an impact on that community. They'll remember you. They'll want you to come back. Matthew chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And so then here's what he tells us. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." He wants us to let our light shine, to set a good example, to be friendly, to thank the waitress, leave a nice tip for the waitress, thank the cleaning staff when they come to your room to clean. Thank them for that. They'll remember that. I'm sure in this world that we live in, they see a lot of bad examples of unfriendly people. But yet, what a breath of fresh air God's people can be when they come to a community. And that's something God expects of us. But it's something we want to focus on, because as we keep the feast to the Lord, this is what he wants us to be. The fifth and final thing I would like for us to focus on, very important, is to focus on staying close to God during the feast. The Feast of Tabernacles, we'll have lots of activities. There's lots of things to see, lots of nice places to go and eat. Probably some of you are planning to go to San Antonio and go to the Riverwalk and see the Alamo, go to SeaWorld. All of those things are wonderful, and there's so much to see and do. We won't be able to do everything that's here. But let's not let that be the most important thing at the feast. Let's focus on staying close to God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And here's just one example that we'll read. There are other examples that we could turn to. Examples of Daniel and David. They were very busy individuals. Had lots to do. Lots of difficulties that they went through. They had their trials and their tests. But yet one of the things that they continually did, and the Bible gives us their example, is they stayed close to God on a daily basis. Daniel and David, it both says they prayed three times a day. It was a priority. Let's look here at Luke chapter 5. And here's the example that Luke records about Jesus Christ. Here's what they saw with Jesus Christ. Verse 15. "And however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him for their infirmities." As you go through the Gospels, you read the accounts of the crowds, and they were just trying to get at Jesus Christ. One example, they took the covering off of the roof to let a man down. A lot of pressure. But yet, he knew what was the most important thing. Verse 16, and so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. It says often that he did that. He knew he needed that strength. He knew he needed that help. And we do too. How much more do we need that? If we let that slip and we allow ourselves to get too busy to not do this, our feast is not going to go well. And it won't be well, it won't go well for some of the people who are around us. Because if we're not staying close to God, the old carnal man is going to begin to show up. Carnality will be there. We need God, and we need to stay close to Him. And a big part of keeping this feast to Him, to honor Him, is to stay close to Him. To stay close to Him. Well, in conclusion, I'd like for us to turn back to the book of Zechariah once again. Zechariah chapter 14. Another beautiful scripture. When I read this, it's one of those times that we look forward to. We just cannot wait to experience this. This is going to be one of the events that I am looking forward to, and I know you are too. And we will have the opportunity. God's given us the opportunity to be a part of it. One of the things we're going to be teaching people is about God's plan of salvation, about the holy days, about keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And they're going to be learning and doing what we are here doing at this Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter, so forgive me there. That's a good chapter to read too. But Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king. So they will go up to keep the feast to the Lord. He'll be the focus. The Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's going to be an exciting time to behold, to see people begin to understand, and God opens their mind, and the blindness is removed, and now they're going up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, to worship the King like we are here to do. Well, brethren, I hope all of you will have a wonderful feast, and let's all keep this feast to the Lord.